Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with the sole representative tonight. But look, this is the A team. It is Matt Ketchell, aka Ketch, from BBC Match of the Day magazine. Well, we're going to need Ketch tonight because there is so much drama on Tyneside. Once again, I feel like we say this every show, but it is a packed show tonight. Of course, we're going to be looking at the game with Oxford on the weekend. A brilliant chance to reach that fifth round, the first time since 2006. Newcastle didn't do it, but they do get another chance to do it. Their name is in the hat for the next round. Hopefully they'll beat them in a replay next Tuesday night. And of course, the big drama, the big news story is that there is a takeover maybe going on. It's seemingly at an advanced stage. We're going to be getting all to the bottom of that. The fallout is happening right here. Then we will look a little bit later towards perhaps a few transfers that could be happening. One that's already happening, obviously signing from Interman Lazaro, and obviously looking at the game with Norwich on the weekend, and Chris Reeve will be joining us. But the man joining us in just 15 minutes time, Keith Danny from Sky Sports News, to fill us in on where this takeover is at. But the man in the studio with me is Ketch. Ketch, we have to start with it before we even look at the Oxford game. News of a takeover obviously went public this week. We know Mike Ashley, it doesn't really like it when these deals go public. Who knows what's going to happen? What are your thoughts on it, and where are we up to right now?
Well, you wake up on Saturday morning and your Twitter timeline is flooded with words like proof of funds, due diligence, company's house.
And you thought you'd already sent off your self-assessment tax.
Yeah, I did. I'm owed money. But no, it's just the feeling of dread that we're back here with another takeover rumour. And your initial reaction as a Newcastle fan, we've been through maybe half a dozen to a dozen of these in the 12 years that Ashley's owned the club. Your immediate reaction is to just dismiss it and go, well, it's just rubbish. It's the transfer window. It's being used to deflect from us signing players permanently. Season ticket renewals are due at the end of the month. This is, you know, PR from Ashley. But then when you look at it with a bit of detail, you look at the outlets that are reporting this. This is the Wall Street Journal who've broke the story, not the Sun who broke the last takeover. And then that was backed up by a pretty interesting story on the Financial Times on Sunday night. So all of a sudden you think, there's something in this one. And then details start to emerge and it becomes very real. So what we know is that there's a bid on the table for £350 million to buy Newcastle. Personally, I think that's probably £100 million more than we're actually worth. We had Kieran Maguire on the show earlier in the season, who does the Price of Football Twitter account. He's an expert in football finance. And I asked him for a valuation on the club, and he put it at around £240, £250, based on the fact that whoever comes in is going to probably have to plough £100 million into the playing squad, £100 million into the training ground, academy and stadium. So I think Ashley's getting a really good deal here. That is the offer that we hear is on the table. It's an investment group made up of the main financial clout is coming from the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund. So their public investment fund, controlled by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. This is a trillionaire. So there is money there. And he's been brought to the table by Amanda Staveley. Now, you might remember her name. She was heavily involved in the last serious takeover bid that we had around about 2017. And that broke down. It was very, very similar to what's happening here. We're getting a lot of information. And I think now we're in a period of silence. Nothing's happening. And journalists are regurgitating what we already know, myself included, now on the radio. But Miss Staveley's interesting because she has her own private equity firm. She's brokered deals involving people from the Middle East before. Man City's takeover was brokered by her. And she's going to come in, what we hear is, in a 20% capacity. So her firm are going to 10% directly from her own money, and then 10% from the Rubin brothers, who are property investors based in London, Chelsea fans, who I think want an in at a football club without the hassle of day-to-day running, and I think they see that as an opportunity. So there's three main parties involved here: Saudi Arabia, Miss Staveley is 10%, and the Rubin brothers 10%. That's what we're hearing. And you know, the public investment fund, Saudi Arabia, they have £3 billion of assets, £300 billion of assets, and they've got high profile investments in companies like Uber and Tesla. And I think they again want an in into a Premier League club and into arts and entertainment in the Western world. And they were sniffing around Man United from what we hear. And I think they've looked at our profile and saw that they could get a Premier League club for 10% of what Man United would cost. So it's interesting. There's a couple of things that have come out, particularly in the Financial Times article, and one of which was there was a quote there that the accountants auditing Mike Ashley's retail business were told recently that Newcastle was disappearing from the book, which suggests that he's in the mood to sell. And that's where we're at, really, with this all. Someone we've had on the show is a guest journalist, George Culkin, one of the most respected Newcastle United journalists.
Has a relationship with Amanda.
Yeah, he interviewed her last time.
There's an element of trust there between them. Yeah. So that George maybe might be the one to break the story if it does go through.
Potentially, yeah. But what he said on the Athletic podcast was that the big details have been agreed, and it's pretty much make your mind up time for Mike Ashley. So if this was in the financial world, we'd be reporting that the deal was done, but it isn't done yet. And the only reason it isn't done is because Mike Ashley hasn't made his mind up yet. So the ball is in Ashley's court. We're now playing the waiting game.
Well, this is why fans, obviously, understandably, they're a little bit mixed catch, because we have heard always the takeover bids before, the failed ones, and it always seems to come around this time, January, in this window, this time of year. And you spoke about previous bids and previous people that have been involved. Obviously, Amanda, she's now back. She's always someone that's hung around. There's a clear interest there. Is there a little bit of trepidation and maybe feeling of fans that we've heard this all before, you know, and until now, because apparently everything is agreed, until Ashley finally says, yep, it's done, you know, we won't count our chickens because we just don't know, because there's a little bit of flippancy from Ashley, isn't there? Because he could just pull the plug at any moment. You know, he's someone that, you know, he doesn't like deals going public. That's maybe perhaps why the last deal last year went away. And now this time it has gone public. We're hearing that talks are at an advanced stage. Now, if the talks have been going on for 6 weeks, Ashley's obviously wanted to keep this very, very quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's a control freak. And the fact that this has gone public, it releases an element of control that he might have had over talks. Mm. He's an impulsive guy. He's a bit of a gambler. He likes to take risks. He's very unpredictable. And he's also very greedy, likes money, wants to make money. And he lies. He's lied to the fans. It's been proven in court that he's lied to and misled Newcastle fans over things like that that came out in the Kevin Keegan tribunal. I think he has an element of disdain for Newcastle fans. He doesn't like us. We don't like him. So there's an element of spitefulness there that he might think, well, you know, Newcastle United is one of the only things that's making me money at the minute. I might as well just hold on to this. But all the while, there's a big bid on the table here for the club. That's a lot of money. I think that's probably over our value. And the BBC were also reporting that there was rival bids in process as well from Russia and Far East.
Now, so, you're part of a bidding war now,
yeah, exactly. So if you know, he might be loving this. We don't know, but I think all the information that we're going to get is now out there. We're waiting for a decision to be made from Mike Ashley. And if we're to use other previous takeover rumours as a guide for this, I mean, what normally happens is now we end up, the media, we end up just regurgitating the same details. Conspiracy theories start flying about. People start tracking planes from Saudi Arabia.
Classic.
We run out of information. It's just, we're in the agonising silence now where we're not hearing anything. We're waiting hour by hour, day by day, week by week. And in the past when this has happened, we've waited and waited and waited. Nothing's happened. And then a statement comes out from both sides blaming each other. And I just don't want that to be the case.
Well, this is it, because now we are in that stage where we're waiting. You know, it's sort of where the bad news comes from. No one knows what is next. Is there a sense then of maybe jeopardy from the Newcastle fans that this deal is in danger, and the next time we hear of it from the radio silence is the deal's off? Because we know where the deal's at in the terms of the stages, but as a fan, how much then, Ketch, with the proposal that's coming in and the team that's looking to take over, do you want this deal to go through? Because I know from a perspective, Newcastle fans don't like Ashley, he doesn't like them. I know you want him out, but you still also, you know, don't want the next Ashley in. How good are these people coming in?
Well, they've got loads of money, and they've got ambitions to you know, make Newcastle United a Champions League proposition. And we hear that they also want to invest in the region. So if we're looking into this consortium, there's an 80% 80% made up of Saudi Arabia, who have, you know, £300 billion worth of assets. The interesting part for me is that the Rubin brothers, 10% interest in the club, they're property developers. They might want to come up here and create something like what Man City have. If you go to Man City, they have a campus where, you know, players, younger players live on site. There's a stadium there for just for the women's team to play in. There's training facilities. It's all encompassing. It's all linked up. You walk over a bridge to the Etihad Stadium. There's like a it's like a little town in Manchester devoted to City. They've through the backing from the Etihad, they've managed to create this incredible facility that's just churning out fantastic local players coming through. Now you're starting to see like Phil Foden, like Newcastle are so far behind Man City in that respect. It's actually scary. So if there's an investment group like that coming over with expertise and property, with a lot of wealth, who want to make Newcastle competitive in European football, then we've had 12 years of absolute neglect and rubbish from Mike Ashley. We're all dying for this to happen. The situation with Ashley kills us every day. And now we're in the agonising, tantalising window of, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?
Yeah, well, maybe hopefully it does happen, and it sounds like maybe a better horizon, a positive new chapter is coming for Newcastle. How exciting would that be? We're going to be talking about the Oxford game in just a little while. 0-0, they play them next Tuesday to see if they can reach finally the fifth round after 14 years. But Keith Danny from Sky Sports News is joining us next, and maybe he will even know more.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell from BBC Match of the Day magazine. Well, of course, we started with our top stories, the takeover at Newcastle. What is going on? We're trying to get to the bottom of it. The fallout is happening here at Love Sport Radio. But a man who joins us now, and a man who will know a lot more than us, it is Keith Downey from Sky Sports News. Keith, thank you so much for joining us tonight and giving us a little bit of your time. It's a real coup to have you on the show. I've got to admit, Keith, I've been following your timeline on Twitter. Any little tidbit of updates, just anything of information about the supposed takeover that is going on. But Keith, where does it stand right now? What is the latest?
You're probably asking the wrong guy, to be honest. I joke. You know, I think with this, I think the key thing is to, it depends on who you're talking to. Now, when the story broke on Saturday, I think it was pretty clear that the information that came out in the Wall Street Journal, the original, came from the buyer side. And that being I'm not saying so much the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund, but perhaps Amanda Staveley's side of things, who are essentially brokering this deal, similarly to what she did with Manchester City back in 2008. Now, what we then do is we then try and sort of stand up that story and verify it with our own sources. And the word that I was getting from my own contact then was that there was some substance to the story. So obviously we reported that on Saturday. Now, since then, from my contacts in the Northeast and from my contacts within Newcastle, what I've kind of been steered towards is that Mike Ashley and the people in the corridors of power at Newcastle have been frustrated, confused, disappointed with the way some of this information has leaked over the weekend, and particularly on Saturday, because Newcastle, it was in the morning of an important match for them. They were home to Oxford United in the FA Cup, and I think the hierarchy at the club feel that the uncertainty and the timing of it perhaps had an effect on the performance and the mood in the stands. There was 52,000 there on Saturday against Oxford in the FA Cup, which is a very high Newcastle, as you'll know, in the FA Cup. So that is their disappointment. Since then, the information essentially has probably come from the outside. From a first point of view, this bears a lot of that. Obviously, when Amanda Staveley tried to buy the club just over 2 years ago. So that makes me very scared. But certainly Newcastle haven't moved at this stage to know the story or kind of make this feel as though it's not legitimate. So I think there's probably only a handful, a very high level on both sides of the deal that know exactly where we're at. And I think it's very dangerous for people like myself to maybe come out and say what I think on the little tidbits of information that we have. Now, I don't think for a second that it's dead. I'm not saying that this is a hoax. That was very much my feeling in the summer with the Bin Zayed group. This certainly does feel a lot more real, but I question anything. Any kind of takeover information that is leaked out, my first port of call is to question it and it's to be cynical. Because we've seen the takeovers in the past. We've seen Manchester City, we've seen we saw Chelsea. They all just happen. I know it's a very simple thing to say. Even at Sunderland, a club of my patch, who were taken over by Stuart Donald and his group a year and a half ago, even that happened. I was sent a press release and that was it. Now, this hasn't happened. So the minute anything starts getting leaked like this, it kind of makes me a little bit concerned. So I've been speaking to Pete Graves, my colleague, just in the last hour on the phone, and Pete is certainly a lot more positive than me about this. He's speaking to his own people. So I think it really just depends on who you're speaking to. But yeah, my concern would be is that information is getting out. And if it is getting out at this stage, my question is, why is it getting out? Does someone have an agenda? Does someone have a reason for this information being leaked? So that makes me skeptical at this stage. I'm sorry that's not the answer you're looking for. And I'm not saying it. I'm not saying the deal is dead. I'm not saying I don't believe it. But I just thinking, sitting here right now, 4 or 5 years on from when this broke, I'm fairly more skeptical than I was.
Keith, it's catchy. We're all dying for some good news on this, obviously. And it's a big if, but if we were to get positive news that the club are being taken over, how do you think the news will break? Because obviously Sky are a huge outlet. It could be yourself who breaks the news. It could be a career-defining moment for you. How do you think this might come out if it's positive news?
Well, the thing that I thought about deadline day on Friday, you know, standing there breaking the news, not only that, you know, Newcastle perhaps buying a player or two, but also that a takeover happens. You know, I mean, that is, from a professional point of view, would be a real highlight in my career, being able to do that. And certainly the noises that I'm kind of getting secondhand, should I say, from the buyer side of things, is that, you know, if this does go through, then this could change my working life. Up no level. My concern is that I've heard this before. Hopefully it would be us that gets it, but I would imagine it would just be set out in a press release. I've got no with that, if it happens. But I think everyone knows, and you know, anyone who covers Newcastle and has done for a long time feels that they'd probably enjoy on something as big as that, and a change would be good for the club. It'd be good fight. Without doubt it would be good for the supporters, but then we need to make sure this is legitimate for us. And I have to say, at this stage right now, we still don't know, because, you know, I mean, although Newcastle haven't come out to knock this down, although they've kind of steered us towards the fact that there is truth in the original story, they haven't come out and sort of stood up all the elements of the story. And I have to say, if the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund are really involved in this with the riches that they have, you know, why is Amanda Staveley set to have 20% of this? Yes, she brokered the deal for Man City back in 2008, but she didn't have a stake in the club. So why would they want her to have this 20%? So there are question marks for me, but I mean, I'm looking at it from a personal point of view. I'm looking at it from Newcastle fans, and you know, you want them to enjoy some success. As a reporter for Sky Sports News, I want to be reporting Newcastle challenging for Europe and winning trophies. Likewise with Middlesbrough, I don't want to be reporting the Newcastle Premier League, and sadly that's what has been since the year. Whenever this happens, I
instantly Keith, I think we're struggling to hear you there. We've just losing that line. I don't know if it was bad signal, but we really appreciate you coming on tonight because we know obviously how extremely busy you are, not just with the transfer window, but the takeover as well. Honestly, a real coup for us to get you on a show. Hopefully, once the window is done and the takeover is either failed or completed or successful or not so successful, we'll get you on again. Keith Danny there from Sky Sports. We really appreciate you getting him on the show as well because that was just brilliant to hear what he had to say. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not really shedding any light, but not because he didn't want to, Ketch, but just because, like you said, we're all in the dark. Fans, media, we just don't know. We've got to about stage five in your steps and no one really knows where this is going to turn.
Yeah, it just some of the things he was saying there as well, it's a reminder of how big this is. Keith's there saying that
it's just career defining.
Exactly, yeah.
Unbelievable.
His work in life will change if Newcastle United receive investment from someone like them, you know, the Saudis. Mm. So there's so much on the line here, and also the influx of funds to the northeast. I'm from the northeast, and there's not a lot of money up there. And we've had a change in government recently. We've had an election, and part of their remit was to invest more in the northeast. They received the Conservative government received more votes than ever from the northeast, and they've promised to invest in the northeast. So there is a real opportunity now for Newcastle to become the club of the north. You know, it's a little bit of an outpost with, Sunderland being in League One and Middlesbrough in the Championship, and then it's Newcastle. So there's a huge opportunity here for the community, the culture of Newcastle United, and there's a lot on the line, and we're all desperate for it to go through. The agonising, you know, frustrating thing is this one man holds all the cards.
Holding all the cards. It's such a shame because when you put it like that, hearing from yourself and Keith, just the bright new dawn, obviously, the money, career defining for him, but it's for you, the regeneration in that community, everything else. It's not just the football club, everywhere in and around the football club at the minute in Newcastle and the big club in the northeast. Unbelievable. Let's quickly talk then about that game now. We'll step away from the takeover. We'll go back to footballing matters on the pitch. It was Oxford, but we did have a question from our very own Newcastle United fan show team, our very own Laurie Callis, who is much missed, that's for sure. He's texting a question. I'm not so sure about this one, Ketch, but he says, this one's for Ketch. Would Ketch rather the takeover be completed and successful or Newcastle win the FA Cup this year?
Oh, you know what? I hate these questions. It's such a non-argument. It's such a non-argument. Like, the two aren't mutually exclusive, you know? I mean, if Newcastle gets taken over, the momentum, the outpouring of emotion from the fans would translate onto the players in the pitch, and I would expect us to go on a huge run. And there would also, all of a sudden, it would lift the players immensely, because all of a sudden they would smell the chance of being part of a massive project to plunge us into European football, back into the Champions League. So I think if the takeover was announced tomorrow, I don't think there'd be any chance of us going down. I think the players would respond to that. The fans would flood back in massive numbers. The away following would be sold out, and so it's a non-argument. But I know where he's coming from. I think I'm personally having supported Newcastle United for 25 plus years, and there's fans out there who supported us for 50 plus years and not seen us win something. We need to win something. We need a day out. We need to even get to the semi-finals of the FA Cup and have a proper day out at Wembley, where half the stadium is bathed in black and white. I was lucky enough to go to Wembley on a number of occasions in the 90s and watch us in FA Cup finals, in Charity Shields, in FA Cup semi-finals. I watched us in the semi-final in 2005 when we lost in the rain to Man United. So it almost kind of, going deep into cup competitions became normal, and now it's completely foreign for us to go on a cup run. You know, we're on the verge of cup fever, and we're still in the fourth round. We've got to replay to navigate away at Oxford, and then we've got to go to West Brom. And honestly, the fan base are like, you know, tantalised by the prospect of potentially being Oxford and West Brom away from the quarterfinals.
Well, like you said, the FA Cup is mapped out now because it's West Brom next. Newcastle do have a good, obviously, route to carry on getting deeper, like you said. But they just like to make hard work of it because it was a replay against Rochdale. Now it's another replay against Oxford. It was 0-0. That replay is coming very soon because it's next Tuesday. We're going to be talking about the first game with Oxford next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle United Fan Show and Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio with Matt Ketchell from BBC Match of the Day magazine, a.k.a. Ketch. Well, what a show we're having. We're talking about the takeover. We're in the stages of not knowing much. Radio silence, never good when you do a radio show about that specific club. We just heard from Keith Danny there from Sky Sports News. A real highlight to get Keith on in what Ketch just said there. Maybe the biggest week of his calendar. Obviously, last few days of the transfer window, the proposed takeover happening. A lot going on for him, but a lot going on for Newcastle. And it was Oxford on the weekend. It was 0-0. Not the greatest performance. A lot of fans did turn up. Big attendance. Steve Bruce said they should have gave them more entertainment. They wasn't at the races. But Ketch, they get another chance to put right that wrong.
Yeah, lucrative replay on TV.
On TV.
Mike Ashley will be delighted. it was a shame on Saturday for Newcastle. Very flat performance. Not pretty to watch, and a real shame because massive attendance, you know, 52,000 plus. Oxford brought 5,000, made a lot of noise. Great day out for them. And it looked like an even game. Chances on for both sides to win it. But it's really not great that we couldn't put a League One side away. I know they've come and raised the game, but Bruce made a vow at the start of his tenure as the manager that he would put everything into the cups, and he's been true to his word. That was the strongest team that we could have put out on Saturday, and it looked like an okay team. I know we're patched up a bit with injuries, but Bentaleb came into the team, and you know, you got a few players like Matty Longstaff and Sean Longstaff who are really kind of fighting for a regular place in the team. And there was the news of the takeover breaking that morning. I personally thought that would galvanise us a bit, create a good atmosphere, and I fancied us to put Oxford away 2-3-0, and we just couldn't break them down. So we go again on Tuesday live on the BBC, and what was mad was you know, obviously Steve Bruce is lamenting the fact he's got another game with a patched up squad, but also Carl Robinson, the Oxford boss, was seemed to be moaning about, oh, I've got another game to play. And in reality, you know, League One side are on TV, and there's a bit of money in the offing that you could potentially use to push on to his squad. But yeah, disappointing, and particularly it was a shame to see that Sean Longstaff's struggling a bit. Last season, obviously, he was massive for him until he got his knee injury. He was being compared to Michael Carrick. This season, it's took him a while to get going, and now he needs far too much time on the ball, and he's given the ball away a lot, and it's really not great to see, and I hope he can overcome it. The positive thing about Sean is he takes risks, and he doesn't seem to be affected by his mistakes. He's given the ball a lot away, but he keeps trying, so hopefully things can improve for him, and you know, we need to, again, put a strong side out live on television, because that one's set up for, you know, if it goes wrong live on TV, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, and is it a little bit like we had Lee Clark on the show a few weeks back, and he said, you know, a player bursts onto the scene and then they kind of hit a wall. This always happens. Are we sort of seeing that with Sean Longstaff at the minute?
Maybe, yeah. He's had a lot to deal with. Very serious knee injury and links to big clubs like Man United. And he's only 22. And he really wants to do well for this club. It's his hometown club. He's got his brother there alongside him. He probably feels pressure to look after Matty. Not that he seems to need to be looked after, but you know, it's like the difficult second album for Sean Longstaff, isn't it? All eyes are on him. If you're at a game and he's starting, you want to see who is this, you know, who is this new Michael Carrick, this rangy midfielder. So he probably feels the pressure of that. He's probably not 100% confident in his knee, and the form of the club has been very up and down. I hope he can play for it. I hope he's getting the support behind the scenes from the club. And I mean that from the coaching staff, but I also mean that from, you know, the right up to Lee Charnley. I hope that they're going to look after his younger brother who needs a professional contract. He's on a development player contract. And I hope Sean gets a new contract as well, because he deserves it. He signed his deal just before he broke into the first team. And now he's a key first team player, and he should be rewarded financially for that.
Well, I've heard, Ketch, there may be a takeover happening, so maybe those deals might be going through in the know there. Obviously, it's a difficult one on the weekend because so much expectation, so much pressure. I know the one thing that all the guys have said on this show, wanting Steve Bruce to play, you know, the strongest possible side, he did that, but it wasn't to be on the weekend. Had their chances. Oxford, though, no mugs. Still a difficult side. They've played three Premier League teams this year, only losing to City, drawing with Newcastle, and obviously knocking West Ham out of the League Cup. That was at Oxford. Now you go to Oxford on Tuesday. What are you expecting? Because it is live in front of the cameras. Newcastle having injury woes, Shelby another one out for possibly a month to 6 weeks. What are you making of that?
Well, Shelvey's, I mean, he's injured about every muscle in his body, I think.
Muscle fatigue, mate, muscle fatigue.
The muscle injuries that lad has had is incredible. But it's going to be really massive. It's just massive banana skin, isn't it? It's going to be cold, wet, windy. We're in the, you know, industrial park. It's on the outskirts of Oxford, in this stadium that only has three sides. I was there in 2017 when they...
Will you be there on Tuesday?
I think I'll swerve that one, to be honest, Charlie. So, and we need to... And Oxford... It's just a free hit for them, and they're going to sell that out, and they're going to make a lot of noise, and they're going to make life very difficult for us. And I think one of the worrying things for us is we'll probably have more possession, and Newcastle United do not know what to do with the football. When we dominate possession, we don't have any answers. There's an alarming lack of creativity in the final third. So we need to find a way to break them down, and we need to make use of the ball better. So we'll see. I'm very interested to see how we set up and who's available. Potentially, we'll see the introduction of Lazaro, who we've signed on loan from Inter Milan.
What are you making of Lazaro? Because did you know about this? Was a player that was linked with Newcastle? Did this come left field for you? Because obviously we see the signing of Bentaleb. Now Lazaro's come in. So they have made moves this window. Are you pleased overall with the business that they've done?
Well, I'm pleased that we get bodies in, because very often we'll have a small squad and no one will come. At least we're getting bodies in, and it's two loan deals, fair enough. But hopefully there'll be options to buy. What we're hearing is from Lazaro that the likelihood is he will return to Inter Milan, regardless of how things go. But you never know. So
didn't he come out on a weekend said he'd love to make this permanent?
I don't know about that.
I'm sure what
he would love to do is play games, because he wants to go to Euro 2020 and play for Austria. So he needs game time. So I think he'll have been promised game time. So I expect to see him in the team straight away. Which position he's going to play, that is the interesting question, because this is a very versatile player who can play as a number 10, he can play on either wing, and he has been converted by his former club in Germany to a right wing back, and that is what Inter Milan bought, a right wing back, and the game time hasn't materialised for him in Milan. That's why he's come here. So I expect to see him in the right wing back position, but we've also been told that he can potentially do a job at left wing back, which is our most weakest position at the minute. We've got Matt Ritchie there. If anything happens to him, there is no cover at all. And Matt Ritchie is one of the more senior members of the team. And, you know, he's had two ankle operations as recently as, you know, October, November. So it's a bit of a worry that the lack of cover at left back. So Lazaro, we've got an energetic, you know, creative player who can play in a number of positions. I expect to see him at right wing back. But I think bodies in the new faces around the squad will lift everyone. They just need time to bed in.
Perfect time to bed him in and blood him in, obviously, that game with Oxford on Tuesday. But obviously, Bentaleb did make his debut. What did you make of it? I know it's short, obviously, one game so far, but pleased with that addition and how he performed?
Yeah, I like it. It makes sense, that signing. It's a position we need. It's a type of player we need, someone with a bit more creativity. It's a young player, mid-20s, and it's a player who speaks great English and knows the Premier League. What we saw on Saturday was a player who hasn't played a lot of football. So since April, I think he's played something like 173 minutes, and not even at Bundesliga level. We're talking their reserve league, which is the third tier of German football. So it's going to take time. I think Steve Bruce commented that he found Bentaleb to be in fantastic shape. So he's been doing the strength and conditioning work away from the pitch, but you need to get on the pitch, you need to have the ball at your feet. One thing I did like about him was he was barking orders a bit, which never goes amiss. So to come in straight away and start bossing people around, I'm all for that. So I think you'll get minutes now that Shelvey's injured, because he basically played Shelvey's position on Saturday. So, you know, he's going to get a run in the team now. That's exactly what he wants, and he's going to be given every opportunity to perform, and the onus is on him to earn a contract here, because there's a pretty good price to buy him in the summer if he does well, 8.5 million. So the ball's in his court. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't have many minutes this season. So, you know, hopefully we'll start seeing him get better and better as the season and the games progress. Obviously, West Brom awaits. You know who is next, Ketch. The route has been mapped out. It worked last time when you knew of your fourth round opponents. This time you go away. You don't bring them back to St James's Park. Can they get through, and will they face West Brom next?
Well, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. Honestly, with this club, I just want to get past Oxford. But then, it could have been worse, that draw, couldn't it? There's still some big clubs in. It's a way
facing each other, potentially Chelsea, Liverpool, and
yeah. So that's where you want to see the big clubs knocking each other out. But at the end of the day, I look at Aston Villa. who went through to the League Cup final, and they've beaten some big clubs along the way, and they'll have to beat a big club in the final. So you have to really beat some formidable opposition at some point on the way. So we should be expected to win that game at West Brom. Their priority is probably promotion. So I'd be interested to see if they go full strength. I'd be interested to see. I think they brought Callum Robinson in on loan. I don't know if he's available for the Cup. I don't know, but it's a really difficult game, West Brom. They're probably at a very similar level to Newcastle. You know, we're in the lower half of the Premier League. They're fighting for promotion in the Championship. Yeah. Never an easy place to go. We've got a mixed record there, but honestly, let's get Oxford out of the way first before we start thinking about West Brom.
Well, it is Oxford. Let's get them out of the way. But before the Oxford game, obviously it is Norwich next. We're going to be doing a full preview on that one. Chris Ree from the Talk Norwich podcast is joining us to give us the opposition view.
Love Sport.
That's right. It is time for the opposition view. You're listening to the Newcastle United fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Joined in the studio with Ketch from BBC Match of the Day magazine. Nearly wasn't going to say it then, Ketch, but I did get it out. We're talking everything so far in the show. Obviously, the game with Oxford on the weekend, a replay on Tuesday, but more important games come sooner than that because it is Norwich on the weekend. This is a massive game coming up this weekend, certainly for Norwich as well. Talking, obviously, about the takeover. Who knows where it stands at the minute? It's all gone a little bit quiet on that front. We are waiting for news and as that transfer window draws to a close. But joining us now is Chris Reeve from the Talk Norwich City podcast. Chris, really good to get you on. Always good to have a chat with you and the insight you bring from Norwich. Obviously, they are down there. They are struggling at the minute. They need the points. Newcastle need the points. It is that classics six-pointer this weekend.
Oh, for sure. Thank you ever so much for having me on. Really appreciate the compliments. I think this is a pivotal game for Norwich City. This is very much a case of do or die for a lot of supporters. You know, if you don't win this game, and it's a huge ask. I mean, going away at St James, we have a terrible record, actually, against Newcastle at St James's Park. You know, they're so tight at the back, despite their... Of course, their league position, they've still got that Rafa Benitez mentality and super strong defensively. So it's going to take a lot for Norwich City to beat them. And it's a funny old thing, the way that this season has panned out, because if you'd said to me, you know, we would be where we are after the first time we played Newcastle this season, which, of course, we beat them 3-1 at Carrow Road. And actually, really, it should have been probably 4 or 5-0. And I know it sounds arrogant, and please don't take it this way, but genuinely, hand on heart, take my yellow and green glasses off. Newcastle were the worst team at Carrow we've seen this season. We absolutely played them off the park. You know, possession, or like, you know, shot stats, everything was in our favour. Tibu Pukki, of course, announced himself to the Premier League with a phenomenal hat trick. So for Norwich fans, you know, I think we are feeling quite optimistic about this. You know, we actually have had some absolutely fantastic performances of late. We should not have lost to Tottenham at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We came very close to beating them, and unfortunately, things didn't go our way yet again, which was the story of our season. But as I've said, really, I think, you know, I've got full confidence to Steve Bruce, of course, a former Norwich player, and what he's managed to do at Newcastle, considering the situation, I think has been okay. But yeah, as you say, it's an absolutely huge game and definitely a six-pointer.
Chris, it's Ketch here. Thanks for reminding us of that 3-1 defeat earlier in the season. I totally agree with you that we were dreadful that day, and that was it gave us a real fright, that, because we thought that was what we were going to be dealing with for the rest of the season, those kind of performances. Luckily, that was, you know, we haven't dropped to that level just yet. I agree as well with you that this is such a huge game. It's such an opportunity for you to produce a lifeline for the club to stay up. But also, I think if we win, I do think that's us safe on Saturday. So there's a lot on the line. What I'm interested in is, I like watching Norwich. It's quite an attacking setup that they have there. And you're probably going to have more possession in this game. We were talking about possession earlier in the show. Newcastle don't know what to do with the ball. We had majority possession against Oxford and couldn't break them down. How do you see that going, coming to an away game in the Premier League? Probably one of the only times in the season where you go away and have more possession. How will the team deal with that?
Well, first of all, this is absolute music to my ears, so keep it coming. I think, look, it's a bit of a funny one with Norwich, and it all stemmed back from the Championship title winning campaign last season, with very impressive away from home. And if you look at the Norwich away performances this season, they've actually been a lot better than the home performances, because it's very much a case of the pressure being off most of the time, in terms of what we can do away from home in these incredible stadiums that we're finding ourselves in now. In terms of possession, I agree. I do think we'll have more of it still. But for Norwich, it's very much a case of, you know, what can we actually do with it? We've just recently bolstered our armoury, so to speak, with the signing of Duda. And also Lucas Rupp as well, who have been, you know, really highly rated, again, from the German leagues, as always, with Norwich City now. So I think what you're going to come up against is a renewed Norwich City, albeit a bruised one, but renewed in the sense of, you know, we know full well that we can put on a good shirt at St James's Park at the weekend. And it'll be interesting to see how Newcastle go about the game. You know, will they sit back and say, you know what, you can do all this fancy stuff with the ball, no problem at all. We'll sit back and wait for you to make a mistake. And I think, and it kills me to say this, and I find myself repeating myself over and over again this season, but to be very transparent, the blueprint for beating Norwich City is to bully us. We found ourselves far too many times this season just being kind of kicked off the ball, and physically we've not been quite there. To be honest with you, I mean, defeats to Crystal Palace, Burnley, West Ham earlier on in the season. So if Newcastle can be physically astute, and if Newcastle can boss the game in that sense, there's the absolute chance that you'll go on and win. But ultimately, as I say, it's do or die for Norwich. Last time we came to your gaff was quite good fun. Of course, a 6-2 loss. For Norwich, of course. So I'm sure you enjoyed that one. Mm-hmm. Mbakani scored 2 for us. And I don't know, it's a funny one. I've got a lot of time and respect for Newcastle. I genuinely have. I think it's a fantastic support base. I think the club is run like an absolute shambles, if you don't mind me saying. And that's the thing for Norwich, is that we should be really counting our lucky stars. A lot of the Norwich fans are moaning at the way that the club is run, in the sense that we haven't invested a lot of money, but ultimately it's run by two supporters that bleed yellow and green and love the club and won't see it gamble lots of money to potentially be relegated and cripple the club. So, yeah, interesting times for both Newcastle and Norwich City.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that then, Chris, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Oh, God, what a great question. I think my head says a cheeky 2-1 win for the mighty yellows, but I have to say my heart says it's going to be 1-1.
1-1 is a point good enough for Norwich. Chris, we really appreciate you providing some insight into what's going on with Canaries this season. Chris Reeve there from Talk Norwich City podcast. Well, we get one caller, then we get two, because joining us now, it is the all-powerful Sean Wade. Sean, you are a part of this Newcastle United fan show. Great to have you on. Obviously, it is Norwich on the weekend, but I know you're obviously also on the Newcastle United Supporters Trust. Big news for you this week, a takeover happening. I know it's been in the pipeline for a while now. Can you shed any light on it?
Well, we hope it's a takeover in the pipeline. I mean, we've been here too many times before, you know, which is mentioned earlier on. It seems to be our Ted every sort of January, doesn't it, all around every transfer window, and with season tickets coming up for renewal, you know, there's a lot of fans that are dubious about what's going on. We don't know any more than what anyone else does, you know. I think, all in all, it's left down to one person who knows exactly what he's going to do, and that's Mike Ashley. Previously, he stated that if the right buyers came along, he wouldn't stand in the way of the future of the club, you know. So let's hope that he sticks to his word for once on that occasion, you know, and that if these buyers are coming along and they've said that they're going to invest a massive $200 million straight into the team and into the facilities, into the community, you know, it's massive for the North East. It's massive for the club. It's massive for the community. The fans are like, if this happens, that is, you know. All in all, I'm also hearing that it looks like it's possible for signing Danny Rose. So I was just wanting to get Ketch's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'd love that, to be honest, mate. He's wanted also by clubs in and around us, Watford and Bournemouth. But what we're hearing tonight is that he wants to come back up to the North. Look, he's 29 and he wants to play at Euro 2020. So he needs to be playing. And I think we get a a player who needs a change of scenery. It's gone very stale for him at Tottenham. He's been told he's not getting a new deal. His contract runs out in 2021. So let's get him up here at left back, a little tenacious, experienced English player in a position where we're extremely weak. So I would love for it to happen. I just wonder if the financials work for us, because we're going to have to pay him a lot of money, be on a big contract, and Tottenham will want a fee for the loan, and they'll want his wages paid. So there's those details to get over. But I'd love him to come up, and I'd love there to be an option to buy as well.
It's just, it's that thing, isn't it? It comes down to the salaries and stuff that, like you say, is going to be demand. And if Mike Ashley's at this moment in time wanting to sell and his buyer's there, then why is he holding things up in the middle of a transfer window? Well, at the end of a transfer window, will be, oh, surely he should just be pushing sacks with the club, taking the money and running, and letting the owners, if they're about to come, have at some of the transfer window to decide where they want to be able to spend the money. I don't understand why the club at this moment in time, I know that we're struggling for players in positions and stuff, but I don't understand why there would be entertaining signings and stuff and things like that if albeit new owners are about to come into the club. It just seems like a total mixed bag, doesn't it? Like it kind of contradicts itself one way or another.
Well, I've long since given up trying to second guess Mike Ashley. What I would say to that is that until there's any definitive information about a takeover, Newcastle will still be operating to whatever budget is being set aside for the start of the season. So it's not like he's going to start chucking money at the club because there might be a takeover. I think the people who are involved at the club on a day-to-day basis, it'll be business as usual for them. So they'll be operating to their wage structure and the other financials. So I think that's where that is. And, we need a left back. It's a huge priority.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to lose Matt Ritchie, which could happen, he's in his 30s. He's probably not going to be able to play every game. We're trying to get a cup run going here as well with replays left, right and centre. So we need a left back basically between now and Friday night. And I'd love it to be Danny Rose. And if it's not Danny Rose, we need a yes or no now because time's running out.
Yeah, it's massively running out. In all seriousness, I mean, they've still got issues where sort of Matty Longstaff hasn't renewed his contract, as far as I know. So there's a lot of in-house sort of cleaning that they need to be taken care of, and they seem so like laid back about it all. You know, it's like, I mean, who at the club is actually making these decisions? You know, because it just seems like they're not doing a great deal. You know, when there's all this sort of work that needs doing, and why is it not being done, you know? So it's leading to a lot of frustrations within the fans because, you know, it's like kind of, we're thrown this kind of, this glimmer of hope of new ownership and stuff and things like that. But then at the same time, the club needs to actually get the players that they've got already that we know that are good assets to the team and to the squad. They need to get these players signed. You know, it's like, why are they wasting time? And like, you know, what happens if by Friday that if someone from a big European club comes in and makes an offer to Matty Longstaff that you just can't refuse?
Sean, obviously on the takeover, I know you obviously speak around the community, everything that's going on with the club. How much is that needed in just regeneration of everything? Not just the footballing side on the pitch, but everywhere around it as well?
Well, it's massive because there's been very little sort of like investment put into the facilities within the training facilities, the academy. But it's not just that, because the Rubin brothers actually own properties within Newcastle. Like they've bought up massive plots of land and stuff for development. So it also poses that interest if they're in the centre of the city with part ownership of the football club, then what else are they going to bring to the table, you know, and how are they going to want to develop the whole situation around the stadium? So there's a lot of things and a lot of infrastructure for the community, you know, whether it be sort of like building some kind of new sports complex and stuff for the academy, where it could be like a multi-purpose sort of facility, you know, where a decent sort of swim pools and recreational, you know, so it brings on a lot, you know. And then obviously if the team's doing well, then that attracts business, so whether it be different sponsorship deals, you know, bringing more economy into the area, it's a win-win. And, you know, and it's been lacking so much within Mike Ashley's ownership. I mean, even down to the advertising, the stadium, he buys it himself, apparently pays for it, but it's an absolute pittance, you know. Yeah. So this, and it's like sort of the workforce within the stadium themselves, you know, there's a lot of them that are on minimum wage and stuff and things like that. Very short staffed, you know, there's been cutbacks left, right and centre over Mike Ashley's tenure. So
Sean, you should have come on the show. You should have.
You sound fine.
You've got too much to say. Sean, I've got to stop you there, though, because we have to end the show. Sean Wade there, always brilliant to everyone. I really hope we get to see you soon. Ketch, just before we go, I want to give you the last word. Your prediction, Norwich on the weekend.
Draw. I think 1-1, spot on. I think,
I've got honestly, really Sean for that.
Nah, I do. I think he's right with the 1-1. I think it'll be a very tense game. A lot on the line.
But
I would take a draw, to be honest.
I'm going to ask you to get your hat-trick appearance, because next Wednesday will be a big show, because we may know more on the takeover. The window will be closed. It'll be Norwich on the weekend, but it's Oxford on Tuesday. There'll be so much more for us to get into. We will always be at the same time, 7 to 8 on the Newcastle Fan Show, with me, Charlie Hawkins, and Matt Ketchell. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.